Praise the Lord. How grateful to the Lord Jesus we really are. And I tell you, if Marge Lawrence can't get singing out of you, there's none to get. Praise God, Marge. You're wonderful. It's so good to be with you. Lanier, thank you, brother. Just wonderful. I just wanted to show you the color of love. Now, that's pure love. John Robertson, wave at us, John, where everybody can see you. Stand up there. Now, there he is. Now, John brings that water. That's what makes it pure love. He sees that, Ruth, he'll see that we have fresh water here every day. Now, John has been doing that for years, not just bringing water. When we had the camp at Canoga, they had a great big fireplace that burned wood like crazy. And old John, bless his heart, I can see him now. At any given moment, I can close my eyes and see John bringing in wood. You've been waiting on us, John, for a long time. We love you, brother. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Thank the Lord Jesus. Now, some of you came in since this afternoon. Thank you for finally getting here. But so two of them had to come from Kansas. Four of them. Stand up, Kansas folks. I think you could introduce yourselves. Since you, I mean, well, some of them may know, but...
My name, I hope you all know your name. Good.
Dick
and Judy Prince, Parsons, Kansas. We love you, brother.
Hallelujah. Thank Jesus.
Bob and
how about it?
Now.
Right.
She used to be a mother.
Yes, she did. Indeed, I remember. I knew her when she was a saint at that high, wasn't she? Oh, my. And what a joy to be with you, Ruth. I was talking with you to Marie coming up and about Marge and about all the joy and honor. Do you realize God is really honoring us? In letting us be with one another. It's just wonderful.
Amen.
I hope you know how blessed you are. I mean, to be with one another. We just praise Him. Glory to God. I want to read some verses and then we'll have a prayer and then talk. I'm reading tonight from the first chapter of the Ephesian letter. If you'd like to turn to it, I happened to bring along the King James Version this week. I used many different kinds. I said to Brother Rufus once, what do you think about all these translations? He hallelujahed a few times. He said, I've never read one yet that didn't say a great deal more than I was willing to obey. So, whatever translation you have, you just obey it. Beginning with verse 3 of this beautiful first chapter, the apostle is writing, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's a phrase you can run across your heart. I'm accepted in the Beloved. 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 I am accepted in the Beloved. Boy, who can separate you from that? I am accepted. The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, redemption through his blood, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Father, we bow before thy presence to praise thy holy name, to adore thee, to honor thee, to offer ourselves in love and thanksgiving. We thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for the work of the blessed Holy Spirit, who is faithful altogether and who works beyond human understanding. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your indwelling glory and for allowing us the honor of being wholly thine. Help each one of us now to hear your voice, to respond to your love, and to receive and transmit that which you've purposed for us, that will set us free, make us whole, and glorify your name. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a glorious call of God going out over this world and not leaving one single soul without hearing that voice. God's voice is being declared in the secret place, being declared on the housetop. God is at work, and his voice is being used to call us to himself. There is what the church calls a renewed call to holiness. Now that sounds very theological, and sometimes may sound threatening, but it's altogether wonderful that there is a renewed call to holiness being sounded abroad in the world today. Going out in the highways and byways, coming to each one of us in all of our experiences, underneath the clamor of the world, if you'll be still, you'll hear. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Trust me. I'm here. I'm in the midst of you. This week we've had a beautiful conference at Aqueduct for Christian writers. Marie was there. It was led by Lynn LeSeward and his associate David Hazard. I did not participate a whole lot because I had other things to do, and they were very capable and really didn't need me all that much. But anyway, so I spent some time over at the hospital at Duke visiting some people that I thought did need me. And one of them was a beautiful doctor friend of mine from Florida. I won't call his name, but many of you would know him. They're very active in CFO. And he was there for investigation. They hadn't been able to find the cause of his problem, and he was going through all kinds of examinations, just every kind imaginable. And by the time I got there, he'd been there a week. And, sometimes it's more difficult to hear God in the areas where you're knowledgeable than it is where you don't know much, And so here was our doctor friend, so knowledgeable concerning symptoms of diseases that he was reading his own interpretation into everything they weren't finding. And it was just amazing. So I sat for the first half an hour and just heard him give a running report on all they weren't finding and wondering why and what have you. And then I said to him, through all of this, have you heard the call of God? His wife began to smile. And she said, answer him. He said, well, if God is speaking through my wife, I've heard him. Because she's saying that God is teaching us and calling us to trust him in a new level. It's wonderful to be able to trust God when you're the doctor that's being anointed, and you're the doctor that's being used, and you're the minister, and you're the agent. But how about trusting God when you're the patient? And trust him for the same healing power that he can get through you when you're ministering someone else. Trusting God to speak to you as clearly as you're willing for him to speak through you to someone else. It's easier for me to trust God to speak to you as I stand here than it is for me to trust God to speak through you unless I already know you. I have no trouble about trusting God to speak through Ruth. I mean, everything she does speaks to me right on. But if I didn't know you very well, and especially if I saw maybe a wart or two, you mean God can speak to me through you? Warts and all? Amazing, isn't it? So God, through all these experiences, is calling us to himself. Now, this first level that I want to mention tonight, and I guess if I get through it, I may not even get beyond this one, but running through my mind are four I's. Quote, I, not I, but the letter I. Four I's identifying the call of God on our lives. And one is a call to holy identification. Identification. Holy identification. And that is being able and willing to lay God's claims on everything and everyone. Holy identification. It is amazing how a thing or a person changes in your own understanding when they are identified with Jesus. The various circumstances that are tragic and that are deteriorating, when they are seen in the light of his redemptive grace, become instructive and become filled with grace, and stumbling blocks become stepping stones. People, when they're seen. My goodness, I remember one person, I won't name names, but one person, when I got to know them through my wife, Frances. And talking about personality differences, you know, that's mild, very mild. I just couldn't stand her. You know. She just wasn't kingdom material. And, I said to Frances one day, darling, you know, your friends are your friends, but this particular one, it wouldn't bother me a bit if you saw her while I was away from home. And she lived out of town, lived about 40 miles from us, but she and Frances both love antiques, and they'd go antiquing. And she would call Frances and said, I'm coming over today, let's go antiquing, or Frances would call her. Well, I didn't know much about her nor her family. One day, the pastor, United Methodist pastor in this town, called me, asked me to come for a mission, and I worked it out with him. Time came, and I went over. Got to the church that afternoon, and he said, Tommy, we have the most lovely family in this church who have a home that's outstandingly beautiful. And said, just the two of them, man and his wife, they have a lovely area of their home, a wing, really, where it's just like a private apartment. You can have all the privacy you need, and you really will be loved and cared for. And I thought you'd be honored to stay at that home, so I didn't put you in a hotel. I really put you there, and let me take you around there now. Went around and sure enough, walked up these gorgeous southern boxwoods, you know, all over the place. Every walkway with hand-laid brick, beautiful boxwood. You'd almost think you were in Virginia. You know, but it was in North Carolina. Ruth's husband, Henry Lee, said to me one time, "Tommy, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who are born in Virginia and those who wish they were." So this was so beautiful, it's pretty enough to be in Virginia. And I walked up with the pastor, and he rang the doorbell, and our hostess opened the door, and you know it. You know, there she stood, my wife's friend. I behaved pretty well. As I took my stuff in, she said to me, "Tommy, the pastor's already told me that we're to let you have your privacy, and you'll do that. But there is one request. My husband gets up and leaves real early. You can establish your own hours, but when you get ready for breakfast, I'd like to have breakfast with you, that's all." Well, I thought, that's a small price to pay for a place like this. I said, "That'll be lovely." And so each morning, we'd have our breakfast together. Well, she had her devotional right ready, waiting for me to read the Bible. We'd have prayer time. We'd share about what the scripture meant. Then we'd eat breakfast. And we just sat there in the presence of Jesus, having our breakfast. And it seemed to me each breakfast took a little longer. And I was there for 5 days. I have never seen such a miracle in all my life. Right before my eyes, that woman changed. Just transformed. Not only did she look differently, she became as bright as a dollar, as cute as a bug, as pretty as a peach. Anything else you want to say? I mean, it happened right there. I enjoy them. I love them to pieces. And if I call their names, many of you would know them. They're some of our best friends. And some of you have seen me with them. And you know how much I love them. But the first time around was because I had not made the identification with Jesus. It's amazing what happens. And do you know, I found it working in many different areas. Little things of life. And there are little techniques in life. And there's one little word, a short word, but it's a word that causes blindness of the soul. It keeps you from seeing things and people in proper perspective. And that little word is M-I-N-E, mine. Do you know, in God's kingdom, there's not a thing held in your name except all things. All things are yours because they're his. But it's that little word mine. My rights, my job, my husband, my children, my grandchildren. You know, amazing, mine. All the way. When the Holy Spirit begins to change that word to a three-letter word. His. 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 This is my Father's world. It's my Father's world. Marie Swapshire, wave at us, Marie. Marie's from Wichita Falls, Texas. A school teacher over there, retired. She's a counselor now. Got a book on the book table here, haven't you? We got bright people here. But Marie's been at our writers' conference, and I've known Marie for a number of years. Met her through the Ardmore CFO, I guess, first. But she rode with me from Aqueduct today. Took about 2.5 hours. And we've had the best time bragging on the Lord's world. It's amazing how beautiful it is when you see it in his eyes. My Father's world. I came up on a person just a few days ago with the most forlorn look on her face. And I said, "Marge," it wasn't Marge Lawrence, of course. I hadn't seen Marge in a year. So it wasn't Marge. But I said, "Marge, what in the world are you doing with a look like that on your face?" She said, I'm reading this book. And she showed it, and I'll not tell you the name of the author, but she said, it's the most woeful prophecy I've ever read. She said, do you think this man is a man of God? I said, undoubtedly. I really believe that man's a man of God. Well, she said, I always thought he was too, but said, this prophecy just, you know, puts fear within you. And because it shows this world really being destroyed, it shows the power of darkness in this world. And I said, well, that's true. There is the power of darkness. And that darkness is to be destroyed. It's to be liquidated altogether. But if you see darkness without seeing the light, the darkness will swallow you up. But if you can see light in the darkness and know that light has come and keep your eyes on the light, light will put out the darkness. Now, I don't fight with the prophecy. You just get a hold of Jesus and walk right through that prophecy and say, Lord, if you could use the prophecy of Jonah to bring Nineveh to its knees and use Nineveh's repentance as a fulfillment of prophecy so Nineveh didn't have to be destroyed. Its very repentance fulfilled the word of destruction. Amazing, isn't it? Ironical, isn't it? And I said, lest me and you hold on to the light of God's repentance and bring this world to the feet of our Father. That's where it belongs. It's my Father's world. My Father's world. It's good and very good. The enemy didn't make one grain of sand. I've been watching bluebirds this spring. We got our Suckett family, a little birdhouse outside the door. Do you know they just are not selfish at all? Want to come in and habitate? Be real faithful to each other? The male carries away the shells. After the little birds are hatched, I didn't know that. The male cleans up the nest. I'm sorry, boys. I thought surely the wife would clean out the house, but the male did it. And after they, you know, hatched theirs and flew out, another family has come. Pretty little old bluebirds, you know, with a brown under their neck. You know who put that brown there, don't you? Every feather, not a single one falls in flight, but what my Father sees and cares. Even the hair on my head, numbered by my dad. Amazing, isn't it? Identification. Identification. My Father's world. My Father's people. My Father's opportunities. But sometimes the one that needs to be identified most, we leave out. And that's where the Holy Spirit almost wants to start. And that's with you. Look how the Holy Spirit cuts right through and lets that identification be made so that you've not received the spirit of fear that would put you in bondage at all. But deep within you is a spirit witnessing to your spirit and able to call God, Father, Abba, Daddy, I'm His. I'm His. Marge, I remember in the Michigan camp years ago, I don't know whether they still do it or not, haven't been lately, but in the Michigan camp, in the young people, they used to have a consecration service at the end of the camp. The whole young youth program would work up to a climax, and Dave Cook was a member of that council ring, the publishing people over in Elgin, Illinois, and Dave would bring rings for all the young people, IAH rings, and it was the IAH club. And so the young people at the ceremony of real consecration, they would receive their ring and make their confession. IAH, I am His. I'm His. Now, Marge said it makes our faces look better when we really have this kind of, it makes every cell in your body feel better. Everything about you is crying out for God's identification. I'm His. I'm His. It doesn't mean that you won't have to face trial. It doesn't mean that you won't have to go through some hardship. It may not mean that you won't have to do some suffering. I don't mean just measles or whooping cough. Love has a suffering aspect to it. Love suffers long. and his kind. And one of the greatest acts of power in this world is to learn to be a steward of suffering love and find with God how to use that love redemptively. Our precious Helen, her husband went to heaven a few months ago. She's been facing this, going through this. We've all identified with her that know her and love her. Many of you have gone through similar experiences. There's suffering involved. Your heart yearns and aches, not because you're worried about whether a loved one's in heaven or getting along, all that, but there's that absence. Though you are together in the Spirit, the touch is gone, the sight is gone, and there's a void that only God can fill. But as that suffering is transformed, you're brought to a new level of union with them, a new level of communication, a new ray of power. So that Glenn Clark was quite right when he said, anytime you lose a loved one, watch out. An avenue of new power will open in your life. An avenue of new power. That's identification. I'm his. I'm his, whether I am broke or whether I'm rich financially. I'm his. I'm his, whether I'm sick or well, I'm his. I'm his in every situation. That call of God, know that you're mine. Ruth, I heard you years ago, but it's lived in my heart, this illustration. Ruth said she was riding along the street one day in Richmond, and she noticed there were some signs on lawns that says house for rent, house for sale, all that. She passed one house, and there on a sign that had been for sale was marked in big, bold letters, sold. And Ruth heard the whisper in her heart, Ruth, that's what I want to put across your life. Sold out for Jesus. Sold out for Jesus. I've never forgotten that, Ruth. I've prayed it many times. Lord, let me live in that consciousness. I'm sold out for Jesus. Yes, I go through, I fail. Every once in a while I fail. I fail myself, I fail others, I fail God. But in the midst of failure, to say, Lord, this doesn't write me off. I'm still sold out to you. Glory to God. And I make that identification. Shake the dust. Get up and move on. Sold out for Jesus. That call to holiness is a call to holy identification. There's another beautiful I in the midst of that call of holiness. It is a call to holy idealism. Do you know it's just beautiful? I am amazed more and more and more. I'm amazed to discover in every person I've ever come to know, and it's been so true.
This is the end of side one. Please turn the tape over for side two.